So we are up to Shmuel Aleph, chapter 16, Perek Tes Zayin. And in this perek, so far, we've learned the first two-thirds about. And the beginning of the perek speaks about how Hashem sent Samuel, to anoint a new king to replace Shaul. And he sends him to Beis Lechem, which is where Yishai lives. And there he's to anoint one of the sons of Yishai. He's not told at first two. And he takes each one. And Hashem says, you know, tells him, no, it's not that one, not that one. Finally, he gets to the last one, the youngest one, which is David, King David. And he's the right one. And he anoints David HaMelech as king. So we're going to start from Pasuk Yud Gimel, verse 13. So it says, Vayikach Shmuel es Keren HaShemen, and Shmuel took the Keren, the horn of oil, that's what they kept singing, a horn, a barrel of oil, basically. Vayimshach Oso, and he anointed David Bekerev Echav from amongst his brothers or around his brothers. Different Mepharshim interpret it different ways. Basically, what the point of difficulty is, was this in complete secrecy that David was anointed, or were people aware of what Shmuel HaNavi was there for? Were the brothers aware? So some Mepharshim say he didn't know. They didn't know. So when it says Bekerev Echav, it just means from his amongst his brothers, but not that they were witness to him being anointing. Other Mepharshim say no, the brothers knew. David HaMelech's brothers knew he was being anointed, and Bekerev Echav means, you know, among, from within his brothers he was anointed. They saw. You're saying if it means from amongst his brothers, it should be with a mem. Yeah, it might fit better. But it could work with a base. That's, you know. Vatitzlach ruach Hashem el David. And the spirit of Hashem settled on David. So he gained a new ruach, a new spirit, a spiritual spirit, maybe of ruach HaKodesh, some kind of new divine inspiration. I think also a physical change occurred within him, of a new spirit of strength came over him. At this point, from that day and onwards, he was a new person from being anointed. Vayakam Shmuel, and Shmuel got up. Vayelech HaRamasa, and he went back to Ramah, to the place. So the Navi Shmuel goes back home, and that's it. So it's just a short, you know, a short thing. David's anointed in secret. No change in the way things are running right now. Shaul is still the king for now. Just secretly, David is really now anointed as king. And what happened? Yeah.
Can I just ask a question? Sure. So I'm just looking back to Yud, where Shaul gets anointed.
And, yes.
And it looks like this is slightly different.
Yes.
Did the Mepharshim bring anything about, like, the difference between,
yes,
how David and Shaul were anointed?
Yes. So we have spoken about it a little bit, but it's not clear. Where is the chapter?
Yud. The first paragraph.
Okay. Ha-Hashem. Okay. So it says there he took Shmuel took a pach shemen. A pach is a jug, and a keren is a horn. So a jug is earthenware clay, and a horn is a very hard material. So I think the Gemara says, Medrash Gemara, maybe Rashi even there brings it. It says that David, who was anointed with a horn, his kingship lasted, and that's represented by the hard horn. It was hard. It was lasting. And Shaul, who was anointed with a pach, with a jug, his malchus, his kingship did not last. It shattered. It broke. It's also a major question whether Shaul was anointed with the Shemen HaMishkal, with the special anointing oil, or not. It's not clear, and I think it's a dispute among the Mefarshim there, whether Shaul was or not. And again, this would speak to whether it was like a real kingship or not. And you ask, why are they holding back on Shaul, right? Why would he be anointed with something that's breakable, or not be anointed with the Shemen HaMishkal, with the special, you know, anointing oil that's been passed down from, you know, from the time that they were in the desert? And the answer is because, or could be, that it was known already to Shmuel that this was not meant to be a lasting malchus. It wasn't for a number of reasons. Number one, Shaul was not from the tribe of Yehuda. The pasuk Yaakov blesses Yehuda. Well, Yasser Shevet Yehuda, the staff, the scepter, will not veer from Yehuda, will not leave Yehuda. That the king will always be from Yehuda once he is from Yehuda. Meaning before there's a king from Yehuda, so you can have Shaul, who's from Binyamin. But once you have a king from Yehuda, David, so then the kingship will stay within his lineage. And Shmuel and Avi knew that, Now that's one thing, one reason why they sort of held back. Shaul wasn't a full king in that sense. Even in the Pesukim we see that. Shaul is not called a melech. He's called, even over there I think, a nagid, I think, like a prince, a leader. Even that pasuk that you're referring to, the first pasuk in Perek Yud, but it says he took the pach, the jug of oil. It says he anointed him l'nagid, as like a prince. It's not, he didn't have the status of full kingship. The second point is that the Mefarshim bring up is that the process in Shaul becoming that led to Shaul becoming king wasn't ideal, meaning the people demanded a king, and for many different reasons that we spoke about, that wasn't proper at that time, even though there's a mitzvah to anoint a king. So Shaul was the result of the people's desire to have a king, to be like other nations, whatever it was, whatever the problem with the request was, but Shaul was the result of that. So it was like, okay, you know, we'll give you something for now, but it wasn't a lasting kingship. As opposed to David was Mashiach Hashem. He was the anointed one of Hashem, so that was done properly, and that was meant to last. So that's why there's differences in how they're anointed. Okay. Pasuk Yudalad. V'ruach Hashem sara me'im Shaul. And the spirit that had been upon Shaul, because Shaul did receive a divine spirit when he was anointed, of strength, of some level of Ruach HaKodesh, of divine inspiration, that departed from Shaul when David was anointed. Now, Shaul didn't know why it departed from him. He didn't know about the secret anointing. But it left him. Uviatasa ruach ra me'es Hashem. And an evil spirit, a ruach ra, a bad spirit of some sort from Hashem, now, like, kicked him, was pushing at him, was pressuring him.
Where do they keep the oil before they put it in the horn?
In the Mishkan, I think.
In what?
In the pocket? Oh, where was it kept?
Was it a pocket? I mean, do they take it from a pocket and put it into the horn? Because if Shmuel did not bring the horn with him, that might give, you know, support the idea that he knew this was not going to last.
Right. Yeah, I'm not sure what it was kept in. Not sure. I want to say a pach, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
So at this point, when David gets the spirit of Hashem for being king, it leaves Shaul. So there's really, effectively, Shaul, you know, in Hashem's eyes, is no longer the king. Now, why does this happen to Shaul? So why does he lose it? So long as maybe, you know, because when David gets it, so he loses it, but not necessarily. Well, no, that's not the question. We understand why the Ruach left him. But why is there a Ruach Ra? Why is there a bad spirit that now comes upon him? So some of the Farshim here talk about an idea that's relevant by in general by tumah, by impurity, that in Jewish thought, whenever we have a situation of tumah, of impurity, almost in all situations, it's when something holy has left. So, for example, when a person dies, so their neshama leaves them, the body is tame. A woman every month becomes a nida, becomes tame, when her body gets rid of the potential for life. I mean, the egg, when the potential for life, for kedusha, for a neshama leaves the body each month, and she goes through her cycle, that's when she becomes a nida. And there's other examples, if we could think of other examples of tumah, yeah.
A Balkari.
So that, maybe. Balkari, I think,
also leaves life.
Right. So, but that may only be a tumah derabbanan. I'm not sure.
That's to immerse.
Maybe midirabbanan. For a male, it has. He does have for a zav for certain emissions. He does have.
Not sure. Well, Kerry has to immerse, doesn't he?
Yes, but maybe you're a rabbinic. Maybe you're a rabbinic.
I thought that's in the Torah. Again.
For a zav, I'm not sure. I don't think someone who just has.
Yeah, I'm not talking about a zav, but okay.
Mikre Laila also. I'm not sure. I can't remember for sure, but. But yeah, so that's the general concept. So over here also, when a ruach of kedusha left Shaul, so it left a void, and when there's a vacuum, so in comes tumah, in comes kripos, right? To use the Kabbalistic term, in comes kripos, these shells of tumah, and tumah settles in. So that may be where the Ruach Ra, this bad spirit, now why that entered Shaul. The Radak here says something which is extremely consequential if you assume like he is. He says that this idea that it says that Viataso Ruach Ra, that this Ruach Ra hammered at him, it kicked at him. So, you found something? Okay. It kicked at him. So he says, Radak says, can't find it right now, but I believe he says that it bothered him to the point that he went crazy. Now, he sort of lost his mind a little bit, which is very significant because what we're going to see in the coming prakim, in the coming chapters, is that Shaul starts to despise David and wants to hunt him down, and he does seem somewhat like a crazed individual. So it's what we would call, if you understand like the Radak, so it's a limud zchus, what we call it. It's a... It casts sort of merit on Shaul. It's like nowadays, right? You have a court case, so they try to justify it that he wasn't, 100%. He
had temporary insanity.
Right? He was insane. Right? This or that, and that's how they vindicate someone. So this would be for Shaul some level of vindication for his actions, which was he lost his mind. So. And so that's according to the Radak, as a result of this Ruach Ra that was kicking at him. So what was the solution to this problem that he had? Pasuk Tes, Vayomru Avde Shaul Elav, and the servants of Shaul said to him, Hinena Ruach Elokim Ra Mevayitecha. Behold, we see that this spirit, this evil spirit from Hashem, is kicking at you. Yomar no Adoneinu Avodecho Lefanecho. They say, your master, you should let your servants tell you. Or Yomar no Adoneinu, our master say, Avodecho Lefanecho, your servants are before you. Yivakshu Ish Yodea Menagin Bakinar. They should we, your servants, they should go and seek out a man who's Yodea Menaging Bakinar, who knows how to play the harp. V'haya bios alecha ruach elokim ra, and it will be that when this bad spirit comes upon you, v'nigeng biyado v'tov lach, and he'll play the music on the harp, and it'll be good for you. And you'll you know, when you're going through these spells of despondency, of depression, of whatever it was that this spirit brought upon him, so we'll have someone, a musician, come. He'll play for you, and that will raise your spirits. Vayomer shal el avadav, re'u na li ish meitiv lenagein. Find for me a man who can play well, v'habiyosem elai, and bring them to me.
Is there a particular reason why the harp and not any other instrument?
I don't know. Soothing. I've never really heard a harp being played, but I imagine that it's soothing.
Back then, that was like a way of relaxing.
Right. I don't know what the other, you know, common instruments of the time were. I don't know what other string instruments there were, and maybe. I mean,
in the Tehillim, David references a lot of instruments.
Right. Some of them are wind, I know. It could be there's other string instruments. Okay. I don't really know.
I mean, think about the evil spirit. Satan?
What's that? Does it have something to do with Satan?
Could it be Satan working on him?
It could be.
Nobody's mentioned that.
Right.
I mean, when you say it's God's evil spirit.
Right, no, it's not God's evil spirit. It's a spirit coming forth from God. So everything, all spirits come from God. Every force in existence, even the Satan, you know, comes from God. So it's some kind of spirit. Yeah, it could be related to that. There's all kinds of terms that we have out there in Kabbalistic, you know, talk of klipos, and like he was saying, and different terminology that just impurity and so, yeah, I don't know exactly what it is. But
I know there's like a teaching that Satan is always there. He's just waiting for the opportunity.
Right.
And when you have weakness and your spiritual goes down,
right,
then Satan could interact,
right,
interfere.
Yeah, so it could have to do with that. Okay, so they look for they need to find the all-star harp player out there, you know, who's making the world tour right now. Yud Ches, Pasuk, verse 18, Vayan Echad Me'ana'orim Vayomer. And one of the lads who was there in Shaul's presence answered, and he said, Hinei Ra'isi Bein L'Yishai Beis Halachmi. I've seen that Yishai in Beis Halachem has a son, Yodea Nagin, and he knows how to play the... Well, he doesn't actually say. Actually, that could be significant. He just says he knows how to play an instrument. The Gibor Chayil, and he's very strong. The Ish Milchama, he's a man of war. Univon Davar, and he has understanding. The Ish Toar, and he has good looks. He has a good image. Vashem Imo, and Hashem is with him. So... Good question, right? Someone makes the suggestion, we should find, you know, a great harp player. Oh, I know someone. He's a great harp player, and he's strong. He's a man of war. He has understanding. He has good looks, and God's with him. So why is he throwing all this in?
To torture Shaul. I mean, it seems like the opposite. Like, they suggest, let's get someone to calm you down, make you feel better, and then they bring in the one person who's gonna really make him upset and lead to his downfall. So
okay.
It's like...
So very good. So let's start with that. So, your ears on the ball today? And the Gemara says as follows. Gemara in Sanhedrin, Tzadi Gimel on the base. So the Gemara identifies, and the Mefarshim try to figure out how the Gemara knows who it was, but they say that this lad, this boy who spoke up, a young man, was Doeg HaDomi. It was a person named Doeg, who we're going to bump into more. He's an advisor to King Shaul. He seems to not really like David. And...
David?
Sorry, one second. Yeah, we'll see. He doesn't like David. And later he's going to again speak out in a way that's going to be bad for David. So the Gemara says, this whole verse, Doeg only said, the word the Gemara uses is Ella b'lashon hara. He was speaking lashon hara. Now it's not lashon hara in the classic sense of saying bad about someone else. Rashi explains what that means here is he was praising David to make Shaul jealous of him in order for Shaul to kill David, to get Shaul to kill David, which is he's not going to kill him, but it's going to happen that Shaul is going to start to hate David and try to hunt him down. So it's not clear how Doeg knows David and why he... You know why he has something against David right now? Not very clear, but that's what the Gemara says. That's how Rashi learns, and then the Gemara interprets each line in a interesting way. It says, and I don't have a clear explanation for each one, but I'll just tell you what it says. It says Yodea Nagain. It says he knows how to play an instrument. Sheyodea Lishol. It says he knows how to ask questions. That's what the Gemara interprets. That it's a skill to be able to ask good questions. Basically, what the Gemara is taking this pasuk and applying it sort of to the base medrash setting and saying that David is very good in learning in his level of Torah knowledge. So it says he knows how to ask questions. V'gibur chayel, he's strong. The Gemara says, "Sheyodeh lahashiv." He knows how to answer questions. He's a man of war. Sheyodeh lisa v'litain b'milchamto shel Torah. He knows how to give and take in the war of Torah, meaning in the base medrash where you have question and answer and proof and rejection and etc. So that's what we call the milchamto shel Torah, the war of Torah. That was an expertise of David. The Navon Davar, and he had understanding, Shemaving Davar Mitov Davar, the ability to extrapolate. The word Bina, which means understanding, what it means is to be able to extrapolate, which really means to take something that's hidden, that's not there. Beis means inside, something that's inner, that's hidden, and to bring it out. That's what Bina is, to extrapolate something that's not said, right? Somebody says something, so that might be maybe Das, may give you knowledge, but that's what they said. But to interpret and to be able to bring something out that wasn't said, so that's Bina. And that's Navon. V'ish Toar. So here he was a man of a good image. Shemare panim b'halacha, that he shows face literally in halacha, meaning he can prove things very well. Vashem imo, shalacha kamoso b'chol makom. Hashem is with him, meaning the halacha is like him, like his opinion. That's how the Gemara interprets this line, and the Gemara goes on and says that after all of these things that Doeg said, Shaul's response was, well, Yonasan, my son, is also good at that. Yonasan also is all of these things, until the last one that he said that the halacha is like him, so the halacha can only be like one person if you have two people arguing. So you can't say the halacha is like David and like Yonasan, because what if Yonasan and David have a dispute in halacha? So who wins? So when he said that, so that's when the Gemara says Chol Shadaite, he became despondent and he became jealous of David. Oh, so the Gemara goes on and it says, and how do we know that it was David? The Gemara actually says, how do we know, sorry, that it was Doeg? How do we know it was Doeg? Because it says, Vayar Echad Mehana Arim, and one of the lads answered, and that seems to be like somebody, Miyuchad Shebin Arim, it says, one of the special people there. And then it says, at Wager, we're going to come to this in chapter 21, Perek Chaf Aleph, that it's going to bring Doeg is going to make a reappearance, and there he's going to speak badly about David. So the Gemara makes an assumption that the one who's going to speak badly about David later is the one who's speaking badly about him right now. So that was that's the Gemara's interpretation, the deeper meaning behind his words. But so it's similar to Yair was saying, it sounds like he's trying to make Shaul angry, which it definitely does sound like that also. The Gemara is saying actually he was out to get David, and he's trying to make David, to prop up David in such a way that Shaul will be jealous of him and seek to kill him.
Is that section of Sanhedrin a context that deals with the qualification of judges?
Or was it no. No.
What the context came up, it comes, that story comes up in there.
I think it's just kind of random.
I've been to Gemara that
yeah.
Talking about there, like, now we're doing Yavin, we're doing Benachos, and all of a sudden it's going back to Bill.
I know, but it might have something to do with,
so I don't think so in that particular place. Okay, so that's the Gemara's interpretation. The Malbim here has a more pshat-based interpretation, as is his way. And the Malbim says that, you know, to have, it's one thing to be a good musician, but that doesn't necessarily get you into the palace of the king. In order to be in the palace of the king, so it's important to have, you know, you have to be good looking, you have to be strong looking, you have to have the right looks to be able to, and the other character traits in order to appear before the king. Just because you're a good musician, so that's not going to be enough. So he said he knows how to play, meaning he knows music really well. Then he said he's Gibor Chayil, he's strong. He says, normally, this is what the Malbim says, normally musicians are kind of, you know, scrawny or weak, but he's saying that this guy, David, he's strong.
He's a man of war.
And he's, right, and then he goes on and he says he's a man of war. He, you know, normally someone who's a musician doesn't know war strategy, but this guy, he knows war strategy.
It's like right after that, David up to this point was a shepherd.
Right, how does he know? Okay, good question. We'll ask that in a minute. And he says that he had great understanding. He says that's also not typical of musicians, apparently. Sorry, man. And he's an Ish Toar, and he's good looking, and apparently, says the Malbim, that's also not typical. Okay.
Perhaps the term man of war in those days meant somebody who was just old enough to carry armor and spears.
Could be.
Well, right. I'm trying to watch it hurry. The whole thing he was saying, all these, he was heaping praise on him as a sort of.
No, so he's going with the pshat. He's saying in pshat, where it's not lashon hara, he's just telling him that he's very worthy. So
he's of military still, age.
I mean, right. Also, like, he's only required for when the evil spirit's with him. And it sounds like if you read around, he didn't always have the evil, like, it would come and go.
Right.
So David was useful for other purposes, not just playing. Like, he was
saying
like,
once he's going to have him, he could use him for other things.
Yeah.
Once he's ready. Yeah, I hear that also. So, right. So in general, we have this question whether this was Doeg, whether it was. How does this guy, whoever this is, know about this boy, David, who lives in Beis Lechem? Is he just happens to be a childhood friend? You know, someone he grew up with, it could be. It happens. Small world, you know, right? But other Mefarshim, some of the Mefarshim say that it's because we're going to see in the next parak. Next parak, we have the very exciting, you have to wait till after Sukkot, but we have the very exciting story of David and Goliath. And in that chapter, it's mentioned that prior to this, David had quite an event in his life. And I just want to say it right. So, basically, when they question David's ability to be the warrior, to go out to fight against Goliath, so it says that David said to Shaul, "I was a shepherd, and a lion and a bear came, and they took away a sheep from my pasture. And I went out after it, and I struck it, and I saved the sheep from its mouth. And it got up against me, and I grabbed its beard, the lion's beard, and I struck it, and I killed it." So, and he says, "I've already killed a lion and a bear. You know, this Plishti is, you know, he's easy compared to that." So that's what the Navi mentions later. So, and David says, "God, you know, he davens, God who saved me from the lion and the bear, he should save me from this Plishti, from this man." So that's what happens in the next chapter. So the Mefarshim say it's very possible that this was, you know, a man, you know, destroyed a lion. What was that guy's name, the lion hunter? The guy he died. What?
Orion?
No, the guy who died. There was some, maybe that I'm thinking the alligator hunter. Anyways, yeah, maybe that's who I'm thinking of, the crocodile. Steve something. Yeah, you can become famous if you can hunt crocodiles, etc. So it could be that David, as a result of this event of killing the lion and the bear, became, you know, somewhat well known for this event, and that's how this boy had heard about him, and that's why he identified him as strong, and maybe he saw other qualities in him that he spoke about from this story. Okay. Vayishlach Shaul malachim al Yishai, and Shaul sent messengers to Yishai. Vayomer, and he said, Shilcha Elias David bincha Asher Batzon, send David your son who is amongst the sheep. Vayikach Yishai chamor lechem v'nod yayin, and Yishai took a donkey and bread and a jug of wine, ugdi izim echad, and a goat, vayishlach bi'ad David beno el Shaul, and he sent it with David his son to Shaul. So there's an interesting alshich on this pasuk. He makes a very good point in context, and then he has an interpretation that's a little bit harder to work with because it's more Kabbalistic, but the point that he makes is just imagining right now, you're Yishai or David, and here come Shaul's messengers, right? There's a knock on the door. Who is it? It's the messengers of the king. So what are you thinking?
In trouble.
Yeah, exactly, right? What just happened? He had been anointed in secrecy, right? And even Shmuel HaNavi asked Hashem, you know, how am I going to do this so that Shaul doesn't know and doesn't kill me? So he had like a little bit of a cover up. So when the messengers of the king come knocking, that's probably pretty scary, right? So the Alshich connects that to this gift that he's sending. He has a whole piece about how it's somehow a reference to Yehuda and Tamar and different things, but I thought just that point that he's making is very interesting, just to imagine, you know, the setting here and the fear involved. But I guess they maybe found out what there wasn't for that. It was just they're looking for a harp player. So along they go, but they bring a whole bunch of gifts with them.
I don't think they told them, because they would have said he brought his harp or something. I mean, most musicians want their own instruments, so I'm assuming they didn't tell him that's why.
Well, he definitely brought it, so... Well, he's going to play for him.
Well, it doesn't say that he might have found another harp.
Right, okay. I don't know if he needs to mention it, but...
I don't think he told him, we need you to play the harp. I think he just said, come to the king.
Okay, could be. I don't know if there's a way to tell, really. Chaf Aleph, Vayavo David al Shaul, and David came to Shaul, Vayamod lefanov, and he stood before him, Vayehaveyu me'od, and Shaul actually loved him very much. Vayehi lo nosei chelim, and he appointed him as his arms bearer. So like you were saying before, it's not just, he's not just going to be the musician, maybe just to have him around, or just to give him things to do, but they need to find other things for him to do. But no, Shaul takes a liking to him and wants him near him and makes him his arms bearer. By Yishlach Shaul el Yishai Lamor, and Yishai sent back to Shaul. So Shaul sent back to Yishai saying, Yamod na David lefanai, let David stay before me. Because he's found favor in my eyes. The implication, right, is that originally maybe he was just being brought for like a one-time thing, you know. Although, I'm not sure. A tryout. Right, right. Truth is, at the beginning, the way that they said it was, it will be whenever this bad spirit comes, he'll play, and the spirit will go away. So they were planning to find someone who would be there long-term, but, right, I guess they wouldn't know for sure that it would work out. So they first just bring David, they give him a tryout, it's working out, Shaul likes him a lot, and they send to Yishai and they say, okay, we'd like to keep him.
I think that it's interesting, it doesn't even say that he played the harp, it said that he liked him, all he did right. Is that he stood before him. And that's it.
The next verse does, but you're saying maybe before this. Let's see the next verse, then we can let's talk about
that. He loves him very much before.
Before it says he played.
Yeah.
How does Shaul know which of the sons of Yishai sent for
the high school to grow? Well, he knows to get the harp player.
Because it says, the Nar doesn't say give a name.
Right.
It says,
okay. You know, it could be that there was only one harp player.
Yeah.
Who knows? Yeah. Although usually, you know, with these musical families, everybody plays. But, okay. The Yab.
Send for David. Shaul says, send for David. Doesn't just say, send for
Ben Yishai, so, like, that's only so many sons.
Right.
It's quite a brilliant.
Right, there's seven, at least, maybe eight. But yeah, okay, they knew. V'yayah b'yos ruach elokim al Shaul, and it was when this spirit would come upon Shaul, v'lokach David es akinar, and David would take the harp, v'nigeng b'yado, and he would play it v'ravach l'shaul, and it would bring, ravach means like space, it would sort of open him up, it would bring him relaxation, v'tov lo, and it was good for him, either for Shaul or for David, v'sara me'alav ruach ra, and the ruach ra, the evil spirit would depart from him. Okay. Yeah, I think.
Good stuff.
Stop right there.
Thank you, Robert.
Okay. Yeah, so next time we